Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
This morning, I'm going to just take a short period of time to encourage us in the area of our friendship with God, trying to understand that more, and this call of being forerunners. There's no doubt in my mind that what I'm about to speak is on God's heart. I believe, everybody says, well, this is the one thing that's on God's heart. There's many things on His heart, but this is definitely one thing that's on His heart of what we're sharing today. And that is establishing His people, you and I, establishing us in love. You can write that down. And confidence that comes from that love in His beauty and in Jesus Christ's majesty of who He is. And that's what God is on His heart, that we would be fascinated with Jesus, that we would be hungry to know Him more, to go deeper in relationship with Him, to give Him honor, to know Him, to be fascinated with Him. But here I'm going to add something to that. And this goes along with the conference. He wants us to be fascinated with who He is, but He also wants us fascinated with His plan. Let me say that again. He wants us fascinated with who He is, but He wants us fascinated with His plan. That we can say that we know and understand His word and what's about ready to happen. So He wants us fascinated with His plan. And you can't really know someone unless you know what is on their heart. Isn't that correct? You know, there's so many paradigms with marriage in the Bible, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the fact is, if you don't know somebody's heart, how can you walk in the plans or the vision or the purposes of God? If you're going to get married or if you are married, it's so important that you know your spouse's heart so that you can fulfill the plan and the vision that God has for your family and for you. And in the same way, we need to know God's heart, loving Jesus and sharing His plans with people that we come in contact with. That's discipling, that's ministry, that's outreach. Sharing His plans, sharing His purposes, and coming in agreement with what He's doing and what He's about to do. When we share the vision with Jesus, we share His purposes, that's who we're called to be. As Voice Ministries, that's who we're called to be. A voice crying out, prepare the way for His coming. That's part of our DNA. It always has been, always will be. To shout it out, just like how we worship today. You know, I felt freedom in here this morning when we worshiped. I felt His presence when we worshiped. And God's intention is for all of you to be free in Christ. And I heard Michael say it, the Lord does not want you to listen to the enemy's lies in your life. We know that. And so as we begin to behold His beauty, His majesty, His goodness, His mercy, we begin to come into that place of becoming a friend with Him. And there's a real difference in being a servant, being a believer, and becoming a friend with Christ. It's optional. It's available. It's there for us if we desire to walk after Him and what He's called us to do. Friendship with God. Let's start there. John 15, 13 and through 15. I'm going to read that to you. John 15. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the friendship of the Lord and being a friend to God. And let me just say, before I even say, I know this much. Very, very little. But I know that I know that He desires and He wants me to be His friend. And you need to know that too. And if I've just got a little bit of understanding, I can take that and I can begin to grow and go deeper with that in my understanding. So I'm just giving a little bit of what it means to be a friend of God. John 15, it says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. everything. In this scripture, Jesus shows the difference pretty much between a servant and a friend. Up to that point, it sounds like they have been servants to the Lord, which is awesome and beautiful that you would serve God, that you would lay things down and serve Christ. But all of a sudden, now they're moving into the place of a deeper level of relationship and intimacy and love with God, where now they understand the Father's heart because the Son has revealed it to them and called them in to move closer to Him. Jesus is indicating at one time, again, they were servants, but through relationship and through growth in their love for God, they begin to move into the place of becoming His friends. It's awesome, as we sung today, it's awesome to serve God and be a servant of the Lord, no doubt. But there is a process to be made to become His friends, to be friends of the bridegroom. These disciples, as you and I, they grew in the area of love. They begin to grow in their love for God. Love is what mobilized God in their lives. They were drawn to Him. They begin to love Him. This love that I'm talking about, I'm sure it's done it to you. It's definitely done it to me. It sweeps you off your feet. It does. When all of a sudden you realize that this is just not some sort of belief. This is an actual relationship, and His love overwhelms you, and He accepts you right where you are. And sometimes you wonder, why haven't You just like annihilated me? You love me, and You won't stop loving me. You keep coming after me. So this love that happened to the disciples and that happened to us sweeps us off our feet. It will grab hold of you and not let you go. And your life will be completely, this is huge, your life will be completely out of your control. Your control. You don't control it anymore. The love of God motivates you and moves you with passion. And all of a sudden, you see things completely different because God has apprehended you by His love. And you have allowed Him to apprehend you because you said yes. Your life will be completely out of your control. And it has a lot to do with dying to self and coming alive to what God has. And you've got to trust Him. You got to know He's going to see you through. You got to know that there's a process of death. But there's great life that comes after it. You got to trust in His love and know that He has His best for you. And that's an area of faith, of believing and not doubting. You begin to experience the Father's love. And listen to this. And the Father's heart is drawn towards you. And you begin to feel the Father's love. And it's drawn toward you in the same intensity and passion in which He loves His Son. And just a moment of that. Just an opportunity of positioning yourself to experience that. Some of you know, some of you don't. Some of you are running on empty, some of you aren't. Some of you are full. But you know that there's more. And that's what He wants out of us. He wants us to be fully, absolutely confident in His love. Now, I'm going to talk about three different areas of just being friends. First of all, you have to become a believer. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't acknowledged what He's done as His sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, and by the blood of Christ, you've received Him into your heart and asked Him to forgive you of your sins, then you're not going to be able to enter into His love. That's the first and foremost area is salvation. And that you would begin to have this relationship with Him. So becoming a believer is one thing. And I heard somebody share the other night that many believers don't understand Ephesians 6:13 and warfare that's going on. They're just walking around with the helmet of salvation, and they really don't have the rest of what they need, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and their belt of truth, and their shoes of peace. They don't have all that because they've just become a believer, and they've kind of gotten drawn back in to doing whatever they want to do for themselves. So they're saved, they know Jesus, but they're not really walking in what He's called them to do. They're not really following the purpose and the vision that He has for their life. So they're believers, and that's good. That's good that they're saved. But number two, and I won't take a lot of time on this because I could go off on this pretty deep. But number two, servants. To be a servant of the Most High God. That is a beautiful, awesome thing that we would come to the place that we would be servants. Someone who has completely surrendered themselves to obeying Jesus. And you've seen that that was in that last scripture that I just shared. They followed his commands. They obeyed him. And so they were servants. A servant has given himself entirely to God. His time, listen, his time, his talents, what he owns is fully submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So they're faithful in tithing and giving and everything that they have, nice car, whatever it is, land, it's given to God and say, okay, use this for your glory and for your honor. Those are the servants of God. You remember the story of the first century church that everything was given. There was purpose in that to learn what it means to be surrendered and submitted. So their talents, what they own fully under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's an absolute surrender, and we want to be fully available in that surrender to what he has. It's wonderful when we're surrendered to the Lord, and when we finally realize, get this, when we finally realize that we will not be satisfied until we come to the place of total surrender to Jesus Christ. We just won't. If you're saved and he's living inside of you, you will never, ever, ever be satisfied. It's biblical. I stand on the word of God, satisfied until you surrender everything to Christ. Because you're holding on to it. You want to serve. You're doing all these things. And then you have a lot of objections. You have, well, let me just pull all that away. It's about you and Jesus. It's about you and the Father. It's about your faithfulness. What you know that you need to be doing that you're not doing. I mean, in preparing for this message this morning, God spoke a lot of things that I needed to be doing that I'm not doing. God confirmed a lot of that with my friend Londa in speaking. God was preparing me this last week about some changes and shifts. Michael's been singing about it, moving out of 2014 into 2015. Get things in order in the natural and get ready to see what God's about to do in the spiritual in 2015. Things are going to be revealed and unveiled. And people are going to find their place. They're not going to be looking for their identity in some kind of movement. They're not going to be looking for their identity. Well, I think I'm going to line up with these folks or these folks. No, they're going to find their identity in loving Jesus and being loved by Jesus. And out of that, they can begin to fulfill purpose and vision. But until they're in that place, they're always going to be running to find the next best thing that seems like this is right in the eyes of God. I'll tell you what's right in the eyes of God. Being before him in a place of intimacy. Being still as we sang and knowing that he's God. Allowing him to shift and change whatever he needs to because you surrendered to him. I understand running and trying. You know, I've done the same thing. And there's been times that some ministries, oh, that fed so much into my life. And that's good. And you can get more equipped. And you can have things imparted to you. And you can grow in your walk with God, but your walk with God is never going to be fulfilled until you're in the place of intimacy with God and you're in that love, 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 love sick relationship with him. Because you won't let go of things if you're not in love, I guarantee you. That's why he talks about everything about marriage and that, because, you know, boys, girls, when you're in love, you know, you'll do anything, you know. And God wants you in that relationship. He wants you, me in that relationship. So being a servant is awesome. But again, nothing will be satisfied until we place complete, absolute surrender. Now let me talk about friendship. Go to John chapter 3, 29 and 30. This guy always shows up, this guy. John chapter 3, John the Baptist. He's always showing up. This guy, man, Jesus loves him, and this guy has surrendered, and he has entered into the place. And listen to his description of his relationship with Christ. Starting in verse 29, he says, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist, let's read it again. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He's here. He's speaking. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. This is how John saw the relationship, John the Baptist. This is how he saw the relationship that he had with Jesus. This is the relationship. It's described in that. He saw Jesus as the bridegroom, and John saw himself as a friend of the bridegroom. He kind of called himself that way in an indirect way, as a friend of Jesus, a friend of the bridegroom. Number one, the bridegroom Jesus. And many of you have heard this over and over. I say it just on the benefit of those that are visiting. You know, when we talk about the bride of Christ, it knows no gender, men and women. It's talking about a covenant relationship for all eternity. I can go on and on, but I'll stop there. You've heard it, most of you. The bridegroom possesses, listen, the bridegroom, Jesus, and in this scripture and throughout the word, the bridegroom Jesus possesses the heart of the bride. He possesses the heart of the bride. He knows her heart, and he possesses that in a powerful way. Jesus, and we'll call it the church now instead of the bride, but Jesus has affections. No, I think I should say bride. For the church, for the bride. He has affections for her. He loves her. And through his sacrifice, what has he done? He's won her love. He's won her love through his sacrifice. And what he has done, he's won her love. He's also won her devotion. And she's so thankful. He's won her heart. The role of the friend in this scripture is to serve, listen, to serve the bride until the bridegroom comes. The role of the friend, John the Baptist, is to serve the bride until the bridegroom comes. He was to keep crying out, prepare, prepare, make straight. He's coming. And in the same way as a ministry, and to be equipped to understand, we in the same way are being equipped to say, get ready. We want to help the bride. He's coming back. And this is the big one. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the big one. Get ready. Get ready. That's who the bridegroom's friend was. That's what he was all about. And I identify with that, because what pleases my heart more than anything is that people would be equipped to know the time in which they're living, root system deep in faith, hope, and love, and be ready for whatever wind's going to blow, because they know the season. And they're lovesick. I love conferences. I love going and hearing other people. But I've come to the understanding that as an individual, it's not about trying to build a ministry. I've said it forever. It's about building a relationship of intimacy with Christ so that we can be faithful in the small things and the big things, back to the small things, to the big things, and it's all about Jesus, and it's not about us. The role of a friend is to serve the bride until the bridegroom arrives. We could say, you could look at it this way, you may disagree, and I understand if you do, but you could say, as wedding goes, as a contemporary wedding goes, that the bridegroom's friend could be the best man of the wedding. Just think about it. It could be. I'm not saying it is, and thus saith the Lord. I didn't say that. It could be. It could be the best man of the wedding. And what is he doing? It's his job to help the groom with the preparations for the wedding day. It's his job to help the bridegroom for the wedding day. It's his job to get the people ready to enter into that place of worship, in that place of intimacy, in that place of presence. That's our job. It's great that we can worship him. It's great that we can speak about him. But we need to prepare people in a different way in this hour, that they're ready to be in his presence and in love with him. So it's his job. If the bridegroom, listen, if the bridegroom delays, the bride could become what? Distracted. If the bridegroom delays, where's Jesus? Come on, Jesus. If he delays, the bride is so easily distracted. And so our opportunity and who we are is to say, it's all about Jesus. It's all about intimacy with him. It's all about knowing him. It's about loving him. It's about being in his presence. It's about knowing his word. It's about being lovesick. The bride could become distracted. The bridegroom's friend, John the Baptist, the bridegroom's friend, John the Baptist, says this to the bride. Don't you look for any other lovers. You've found the best. I said I wouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. That other guy, he's trash. I don't mean that bad. I just mean that everything's dung compared to Jesus. Everything's nothing. And so the bridegroom's friend says, you've chosen the best. I know you're hurting. I know it's been a while. I know you've went through a lot. But let me tell you, you have chosen the best. Lucky has nothing to do with it. You're one blessed woman. You're one blessed man because you've chosen the best, Jesus, the bridegroom, conquering king. That's what the bridegroom says, his friend says. This is my point, and I'll close here. Even as John prepared people for Jesus' first coming, God is wanting to raise up true friends of the bridegroom, of Jesus today, who will prepare people for his second coming. As John the Baptist prepared them for the first coming, we are to have that same spirit resting on us to prepare people for the second coming. I need you to come up, Michael. Worship team. We need to prepare them for the second coming. That's why it's so imperative and important that you sign up for our conference. If you don't make it, if something's going on, you got something, I understand. But understand this, dads and moms. Understand this to those that are leading ministries or in the workplace. You need to have, sooner or later, this information in your tool belt to understand. I mean, that's why we did the book of Zechariah. That's why we did the book of Daniel. And I just tell you that Dave did a tremendous job of bringing forth the book of Daniel. And people were saying, man, where's this guy getting this stuff, you know? I told you before, one a pastor's wife was in here and said, man, how is this so well hidden? How come you don't tell people? Well, hopefully very soon we'll get the word out as we're going through a little of these dry runs that matter and getting more and more out there so that people understand we're a voice crying out saying, prepare the way because Jesus is coming. Be in love. Be still and know that he's God. So, you see, the friend John the Baptist, he came to that place in the second part of that verse where he said, I must decrease and the bridegroom must increase. We rejoice. Every one of us, we rejoice when we're in right relationship with Jesus because of our love and our friendship with him. And knowing that he's the bridegroom conquering king, we rejoice when we decrease and he is exalted. This has been a long-term phrase, but it is true. God's raising you up to be a friend of the bridegroom. Many of you believe, many of you have been serving, but he wants to draw you near. And he wants you to experience him like you've never experienced him before. The last part of this is this. Friends, They didn't love Jesus, the disciples. They didn't love Jesus because he gave them ministry. They didn't love Jesus because he gave them a following. Matter of fact, the opposite took place. Or they didn't love Jesus and follow after him because they were honored among men and women. They followed Jesus strictly and plainly and clearly. They followed him because of who he was and who he is. Not what they could gain out of it. And again, when the love of Jesus apprehends you, you're swept away. And that's what he's after. And I've got some good news for you. He is not going to leave you alone. He will help you in love. Die completely to everything that's not of him. He will. Their faithfulness, the disciples, had nothing to do with ministry function. That had only to do with relationship. And this is kind of a rough thing to say at the end, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you know that it's possible to be successful in the eyes of men and women, but barren before God? It really is. Just barren. And all the time, people think that you're doing good and you're okay, and you're fighting just to stay alive. Why don't you stand? When I'm relating to Jesus, when I'm relating to Jesus in wholeheartedness or in total abandonment to his love, that's when I am successful. That's when you are successful. When you're relating to him in full-hearted love. I have a glimpse of that, like I said, just a little bit. But there's so much more. I want us to pray. And if God, you feel the Lord tugging at your heart to go deeper. If you feel the Lord really tugging at your heart today to lay some things down. To move into that place of friendship. I want you to just, as we pray, just step out of your area there and just come and release it. Just give it to him. Don't let anything keep you from doing that if that's your heart today. Don't let no one, any status, any position. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you are the faithful one. We know that we can trust you. And you're raising up men and women of wholeheartedness. So we come before you today. And we surrender again things to you. Surrender distractions. They're not worth it. We come before you, surrendering everything and giving it to you. And we're asking that you would help us to go deeper in love and to love you, Jesus. Because of who you are. Lord, I ask that if right now in the name of Jesus, your name, if there are people here right now that need to transition, that need to shift into becoming friends of the bridegroom, the spirit of John the Baptist of crying out, Lord, I ask that you would touch them today. By your presence, Holy Spirit that lives in us and that's around us, I ask that you would confirm this morning to them that we can be ready Just listen. If you know that God's called you to be a messenger at the end of the age, I just want you to come forward. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Lay your heart before Him. I'm going to let Michael just sing this a little bit over you. Ask for a fresh touch of your presence today. Every area of our lives has led to this moment, God. And here we are again before you, laying it down in sincerity. We want nothing to be the same. We want everything to be new in you. We want to know your purposes. We want to come in agreement with your purposes in your heart and what you're doing. We want to share your vision. We want to share your dreams. We want to be fascinated with you, Jesus, and fascinated with your plan. So we come saying yes again. We say yes. We say yes. I want you all to just be praying. If you would just pray with me.